Welcome to the Wedding Songs Podcast, featuring newly released songs you need to know and the tried and true classics. Get song ideas from the time guests arrive until the last dance of the reception. And now your host, Matt Campbell, founder of MyWeddingSongs.com.
Welcome, everybody, to the Wedding Songs Podcast. I am Matt Campbell, and today we're going to be talking about lighting at weddings. I have the benefit of getting Daryl Bennett from Utah on the show from ADM Productions. Welcome to the show, Daryl.
Thank you for having me. Such a pleasure to be here.
I love it. I saw you talk at MEX this year and did a fantastic job explaining everything. Can you just tell me a little bit, before we get started, a memorable wedding moment that you had?
Yeah, for sure. And when I was thinking about this, I'm like, man, I probably should just choose my own wedding, because that was a wedding I was at and that's supposed to be memorable. But last year, or was it the year before, my sister got married, and I thought to myself, like, it would be the dream to be able to hire my own company to DJ my family's wedding so I can just be present and I can be there with the family. And that's exactly what happened. I hired my own company. I hired Braxton, one of my top guys, and the wedding was awesome. Everyone had a great time, and I'm like, this is how you made it as a multi-op, is when you're able to delegate those responsibilities to someone else and have everything run smoothly.
I'm sure the bride appreciated that as well, to know that everything's going to go off without a hitch.
And we have two young kids. My wife was really happy that I was able to be there and help with them, because they are wild.
That's great. Can you just tell everybody a little bit about you and your company?
My company's name's ADM Productions, and I think you asked me, where does ADM come from? Well, when I was in a band, the drummer was part of a multi-op in Idaho called A&B Productions. Tyler, the guy who created that company, he chose that because it would be listed high in the phone book. And that was a while ago, because phone books really aren't that relevant today, but we just thought ADM is kind of like A&B, but his name was Aaron, so Aaron Daryl Music Productions. So that's where it came from.
As far as weddings go, lighting's changed throughout the years. What would you say has been an influence for you for lighting?
A huge part of it is I just like looking at lights. I think lights are really visually appealing. They're fun to look at. A huge part is concerts, because I grew up playing music. I grew up going to concerts. My first concert was Rush. It was called the Delta Center at the time. That's the stadium we have here in Utah, and it's changed names several times. It's back to the Delta Center. Just seeing the lasers and the lighting, and just seeing how it kind of added a lot to the show, where it made it more of a spectacle than just standing around listening to music. So that's definitely been a huge impact on lighting for me.
Well, I bet. Back in the day, I never got to see Pink Floyd, but yeah, I would imagine Rush would have been phenomenal to see. So how do you think lighting has changed through the years then, from where it was a few years ago, 10 years ago, 20 years ago, to what's being offered right now?
I think that lighting, there wasn't as many choices back then. There's so many different lighting fixtures, and it's also affordable and accessible, and there's so many different ways to control them. Not even 10 years ago, I think a lot of people would get these big lighting trees, these multifaceted T-bar stands, and they would put as many lights as they could, have a rat's nest of cables running down the back, and then just having them go in sound active mode in this kind of chaotic manner. But now modern lighting is just so easy to control and so convenient, because so many things are like wireless and battery operated. DJs are able to execute really deliberate light shows without too much effort. And it's all pretty affordable too.
Boy, you bring back memories. I had one of the largest light shows in Montana in the 90s. And I can't tell you how many millions of miles of extension cords we had back in the day.
That is awesome.
Just to go wireless, I would have been ecstatic for that.
Yeah, for sure. And I think back then, I think a lot of the style was like maximalism, like more is more. But I think today, mm-hmm. people are able to see that sometimes less is more. Too many fixtures can kind of make the ambiance of the whole event a little bit cluttered. So just having minimalism and having enough lights that are effective, but not overwhelming.
I love that tip. So speaking of that then, how are you setting the mood for the first dance?
That is a great question. I think the most important thing to do is, of course, your couple, but the photographer most of the time doesn't really care. They're like, you do whatever you want and I'll figure it out. But lots of times, if nobody really has a preference, I like to have my lights kind of be a chill, a static scene. So it's a mix of like a warm white, cool white, depending on the natural lighting or venue lighting around. And if I have spotlights, I like to shine them on the couple. Sometimes I'll dim the spotlights or just turn them off. Because a lot of photographers, it messes with their shot and their ISO. They have like the light shining on them. I've even had some ask to turn off the up lights, which I'm happy to comply because those first dance shots are really important.
I'd be very sad if the first dance went away like the bouquet toss, because it's such a highlight moment of the reception for sure.
Agreed.
So you have the cool chill of the first dance. How are you changing the lighting then for party time?
Well, I use a software called SoundSwitch, and one of the huge appeals of SoundSwitch is the plug-and-play workflow. So I have it set to a static scene for the formality dances and pretty much the entire reception. Then when it's time to dance, the lights automatically sync to the BPM, and a lot of different lighting softwares are able to do that nowadays. But yeah, I pretty much, it cycles through chases at random, like dancing to the music.
And I think the one thing that has changed over the years, I think you would agree that a lot of couples don't want the light shining in their eyes. It's really transformed into the ambience of what I would call, for the general public, stick light. And then you can change those lights that could flash to the beat of the music. And then you have your up lighting setting the mood. So it's a lot of what I would call mood lighting versus the dance lighting where you're in the club, shining down on you, shooting you in the face.
Right. I think that saturating the dance floor with a thick glow is kind of out. It's just that when you have kind of ambient lighting, it's able to add the vibes, but it's also able to still look good in photos. Like these stick lights you are talking about, like the tube lights, the one I have right here, it's not too harsh. It doesn't blind anybody, but it's able to off-put enough lights that gets people in the party spirit.
Yeah, for sure. Oh, man, if we had those back in the day just for cocktail hour or dinner, man, that would have just set the mood. It would have been, I'm sure it raises the party feel for sure.
Right. It makes it so that you can have a party feel, but have it feel elegant too.
Yeah, exactly. Do you have any recommendations then for couples who don't want lighting at their wedding?
I think that's okay too. I think you need to assess whether you want the lighting and what kind of mood you're wanting. And I think it's perfectly valid to want just kind of a romantic string light vibe, especially the dinner or cocktail hour. I'd reconsider not having any lighting during the dancing portion, because that is something I hear a lot. And if a couple is really insistent on that, then we're happy to work with that. But as a DJ, we have different tools to help people get on the dance floor. And lighting is just one of those tools that just gets people in the party spirit, gets them loosening up, makes them feel all right.
And I think going off what you're saying, depends on the room. If you're in the White House building with this huge chandelier, yeah, leading up to the party time, I want to enjoy the room, not your lighting.
But when it's time for party, I 100% think at the White House, you should bring out the club style lights. Because if you want a club style dance, some club style lights will help.
For sure. But you are a pro at lighting. We're going to say that because now you've talked at a DJ conference about lighting. So we're going to say you're a lighting pro. How important do you think it is to program the lighting instead of just having them dance to the beat of the music?
I think it's just about being intentional and about knowing what you want to do at the right moment. Earlier in our conversation just now, we talked about setting the ambiance for cocktail hour for the first dance. And while you can set those moods with lighting without controlling it through DMX, it's just the easiest way to do it, because I happen to have a controller right here. So I can just push one button to do what I want at any given moment. Like, I want it to be a static scene for the first dance. I push one button. When I'm ready to start dancing, then I can just push another button. And it's just a lot easier to operate at the event. I think sound active mode is okay. I'm probably one of the only lighting YouTubers that will say that. I think sound active mode is okay during the dancing portion, but it will loop through all of those chases, but then it will start to feel stale and repetitive. So if you have your own DMX lighting show, then you have more flexibility to do custom stuff.
And for the non-DJ listener, what do you mean when you say DMX?
So DMX is just the language that lights all talk to each other.
As a side note then, let's talk a little bit about specific lighting. I want to talk about the gobos. Are you seeing couples want to have their name up in lights on the dance floor or on the wall? And is that something that you offer?
Yeah, I think that gobos are sometimes called monograms. Even animated monograms have become very popular. I personally like them. I think it's a nice way to add a branding, a nice, elegant, personalized touch to a room. It's almost like a signature on a room. I haven't been seeing it that much. We've been doing it for about 3 years now, and I'd say about 1 out of 5 weddings do it. Our company happened to use projectors. That's kind of the new way of doing it because you have more flexibility, more customization. You can change the size because every room is different, and you can't place your projector in the same spot all the time. Yeah, I love them, and I think the couples that do book that option, they love it too.
I think you made a great point too. It's not just stationary with the projectors. You can have them move, have them spin, whatever the couple wants or whatever that situation hits. So I think that's more enhancing than it just used to be with just your name on the lights.
You could do some really cool stuff. At the MEX conference that you were just mentioning, I saw one where someone had a custom Mario monogram for their wedding. So I have Mario holding the couple's name and he was going through some pipes and doing some fun stuff. And I thought it was perfect for the couple that loves Mario.
That's awesome.
I've seen some with fireworks in the background with the couple's name. It has an animated intro and outro, and you can do some really cool stuff. And that is definitely a showstopper and something guests will be talking about for years to come.
I love it. Speaking of lighting, let's talk about glow sticks. Are glow sticks still really popular that you're seeing with couples? And would you consider them being utilized as a good thing at weddings?
I'm seeing a lot of DJs bringing the glow sticks. And I think that a lot of couples are starting to see it in social media. But yeah, glow sticks or party favors, some people call them, are awesome because if you ever see some of those viral wedding videos where there's a dance floor, people have them. People can have fun with them. They can sword fight with them. And yeah, I think that they are definitely a hit for all ages. Old people love them. Little kids love them. And yeah, it's good to have people hold it and jump up and down to the music. I highly recommend them. So if your DJ does not offer them or does not give them, I highly recommend getting some. And they're really easy to find. You can find them on eBay and Amazon.
That's cool. So do you have packages with them then? Or do you just include them in your packages?
We just include them in our packages, and we have it a la carte as well.
Time for a quick break from the show to let you know about the Wedding Music Letter. Are you struggling to find the wedding songs that match your personality and music style? Are you having a hard time keeping up with the new wedding songs being released? Then subscribe today to the Wedding Music Letter by going to my website, myweddingsongs.com, and clicking on the Join Now button. Every Wednesday, you'll get song ideas to build your wedding playlists. On the last day of the month, you'll get all of the new wedding songs released from the prior month. So subscribe today and join over 7,000 other engaged couples and wedding pros by going to myweddingsongs.com and joining the Wedding Music Letter today. Now back to the show.
Because we're on the Wedding Songs podcast, I have to talk about music. What hits are you finding couples in your area that people are going crazy over?
I'm finding couples are going crazy over a lot of the classics, a lot of the songs that have been played at weddings year after year. And something that was talked about at MEX, which I think I'll bring up here, is that a lot of times as wedding DJs, we're trying to break the norm, break the mold from some of these traditional wedding songs like Yeah by Usher, and especially line dances. But I think line dances are still very popular at a lot of weddings. So I try to consult with the couples and see what they want, because some people don't want them. But line dances, people know what they are, people know how to do them, and people like them. Like Cha-Cha Slide, I don't see it going away anytime soon.
Are people dancing to Beyonce's new song, Texas Hold'em?
That's the tricky thing with new songs. Sometimes they hit and they're really good. And then sometimes they're not just very danceable. And so people might recognize it. But I think it just depends on the crowd. Some are like, I know this song. And then some are just kind of like, what are you playing?
So beginning of the night, just to test them out.
Yeah, exactly.
Very cool. So what are you finding that couples are selecting for their first dance songs? Are they picking songs that have been played like Ed Sheeran? Are they going off the rails to something that you've never really heard before?
I'd say about 50-50. I'd say about 50% they're playing songs that are very common and very well known, which I think there's nothing wrong with that. Like my first dance song with my wife was the Twilight song, and it was very beautiful, very romantic. A lot of the times, though, they're choosing songs from artists that I've never heard of, which I still think is really great because it's something special to them, and that's a great time to incorporate some of those slower songs that aren't really very danceable.
Very good. When you are selecting lighting, is there a particular light? I think that the mom and dads have to get away from the siren lights and the police lights, and it's just not that way anymore. Are you matching the lighting to the room? So I know an all-white room, you would have a lot of leeway to do whatever you want, but I'm just picturing of rooms that have purple walls or blue walls. Are you having to change your lighting based on what the wall colors are?
That is a great question. And a really common option for DJs these days is uplighting. And these uplights, they kind of shine against the wall. And they put them all around the perimeter of the room, and it just gives some nice ambiance. So for me, I try to have them be a specific color, just a really neutral color during the formalities and during the cocktail hour. So white or amber or somewhere in between, like a warm white. And I feel like that works good on any type of wall because a lot of venues too, they also have natural lighting come in. And I don't want to clash with that. A lot of DJs like to have a Barney purple or like a really bright blue. And those colors are more noticeable when there's still lights coming in from the windows. But sometimes they clash with the vibe of the overall event. And so if the couple's having their color be green, I tend to not try to have my lights be green because I feel like a green tablecloth might add to the vibes of the event, but all your walls being green might be too much. Because I think lighting should accentuate the event and not draw too much attention at that moment. But when it's time to dance, I just try to use as many colors to make it as vibrant as possible and energetic. And so using all the colors definitely helps add to the ambiance.
That's a great tip. I'm thinking the most popular was teal and purple. And if you have purple linens, then do you really want teal to clash with it? And then if you have that color, are the linens going to remain looking purple because of the color that you're adding into the room? That's interesting. That's a great tip of just going with the off-white or the ambers just to keep the colors of the wedding theme in the room. So is there anything else that we didn't talk about lighting that you think that should be covered today?
Yeah, I think that DJ lighting can add a lot of value, especially for a dance party. I think that it's sometimes misunderstood, and sometimes the DJs themselves aren't quite sure why they're using certain lights that they're using. So I think it's important to talk with your DJ, see some of their options, and look at their social media, look at their reels, see what types of lighting they're using, and see if you like it, because you may not like it, or you might feel like it's not enough. And I think that definitely should be a deciding factor.
That's a great tip because I tell everybody that you should be looking at their social media, not only their lighting, but their MC skills, how they command the room. You can get all of that, or you should be able to get all of that from your social media besides having a connection with your DJ. But yeah, I think it's a great idea that a lot of couples allow DJs to record their weddings. And so you're able to at least do those snippets where you can share on social media to get an idea of what lighting that you have and that you offer. Make sure it fits that vibe and fits the room. My final question then would be, as far as lighting goes, what about the number of people that are in the room? Do you think you would do the same for a room of 50 people versus a room of 300 people?
No, that is a great question. So a lot of the time when you're trying to decide with lights, sometimes it has to do with packages or the couple's budget, but you definitely want to have more lighting for more people so that it's more effective. Just like you want to bring a bigger sound system for more people. So I definitely think having more lighting and different styles of lighting is good. So like this light that you see here, which a lot of DJs will call pixel tubes, that's something considered like eye candy. Having some more eye candy across the room is really good. The number of uplights really depends on the size of a room, not so much like the number of guests. But yeah, shining lights over the crowd with some lights called moving heads or gobos is also a really great way of doing it. And if you have a very big crowd, then having more gobos is really nice.
Awesome. Some great tips on lighting. Thanks, Daryl. I really appreciate that. So if people want to follow you or contact you, how can they do so?
You can follow my company at ADM Productions DJ, or you can follow me at DJ Daryl Bennett.
Just to close out, I know you're in the Salt Lake City area, but how far do you travel out?
We travel worldwide. If you have an event anywhere in the world, we're happy to come. But generally, we do Utah and surrounding states.
Thanks again, Daryl, for being on the show. Thanks for listening, everybody. Stay tuned for next week with another interview with another wedding pro. Thanks for listening and have a great day.
Thank you for listening to the Wedding Songs Podcast. Never miss a future episode. Subscribe today to our podcast. Follow us on Facebook at My Wedding Songs and send us a message about playlists you would like covered.